Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Sure looks like Aaron Rodgers is going to be back with the Pack in 2021. 2022, a completely different story. Welcome aboard. It is the Doug Gottlieb Show as George and I are sitting in for Doug today. And if you missed what was going on at the news desk at the top of the hour, over the last 10 minutes or so, ESPN's Adam Schefter breaking down the news that the Packers are offering concessions and would be close to an agreement with Aaron Rodgers to bring him back for at least this upcoming season. Now, if you missed some of the details, this is what we can tell you. This from Adam Schefter saying that the 2023 Aaron Rodgers contract, which would be the last one, that would be voided. The Packers would not be allowed to place the franchise tag or transition tag on Rodgers. The Packers would also agree to review Rodgers' situation at the end of this season and adjust the contract so he wouldn't lose any income this year, but allow the Packers to get more cap room. And yes, mechanisms would be put in place to address Rodgers' issues with the team. Aaron Rodgers looking like he's going back with the Pack, but for how long is going to be the big question. My whole issue on this, it sure seems to me that the Green Bay Packers are really caving in to Aaron Rodgers when we had been told Rodgers didn't have any leverage in all of this. Now Green Bay is allowing Rodgers to return, going to alter his contract, address his situation at the end of the year. Those things to me are just apparently Aaron Rodgers had a little bit more leverage than I thought, because I thought Green Bay could really play hardball with the quarterback. Apparently they chose not to, and it looks like Aaron Rodgers is going to be back with the Pack this summer.
I think about an hour ago. I think about an hour ago and 24 hours ago. It's almost like I knew something.
Did you know something, or did you just, I don't want to say guess correctly, because I don't think you guessed. I think you know how things work. Or yeah. Was this just how it played? This is how things play out in the NFL in your mind?
No. I had a very good Okay, it was a combination of some insider knowledge that I was not allowed to say and a hunch, so I couldn't say it like it was fact. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
But it was literally, it made all the sense in the world to me as well, because I was just like, this is Aaron Rodgers. He's calculated. He's smart. And the only way he was coming back was for there to be some concessions made to guarantee he got out of Green Bay after the season, unless for some reason he just had a complete change of heart. And I believe that this was that Aaron Rodgers was going to retire. He was either potentially going to take that COVID out, or he was really going to retire. And the team was like, wow, this dude's actually serious. And at the point that they knew that he was not going to just show up. And I think that Aaron Rodgers has enough love for his teammates, Devontae Adams and so many other people around the Packers organization and fans, that he knew that it had gotten so late and they didn't trade him, that going to a new team was untenable anyway. Like just because learning the whole system, like everything. So he understood that going back to Green Bay or retiring was his best option. So I do think that he wanted the time off this offseason. But in addition to that, I think he also understood that he needed to let the Packers know that he was very serious. And he did that.
Yeah, he sure did. And I even said a couple of weeks ago, I thought what he was doing to them and kind of just leaving them in limbo was not fair to the Green Bay Packers. At some point, when you kind of have to know if your veteran quarterback is going to be there and how you're going to plan for the season, it's and that's why I just referenced the Favre retirement was the Packers had moved on. Like they didn't think that Brett Favre was maybe going to come back. And it was when Favre ended up saying, no, I want to play. And then the Packers had kind of been in Aaron Rodgers mode since Favre had announced his retirement. That's what made it difficult. This was just, well, Rodgers is going to get his job back if he wants it when he returns. We're not going to hand it over to Jordan Love. So I just felt it was he really put Green Bay in a really difficult situation. And to have all this happen where if there was no deal done prior to the draft, I actually underestimated that aspect of it, of if you're going to trade Aaron Rodgers, you obviously would have wanted a high pick in the draft that just occurred a couple of months ago, in addition to all of the additional compensation that you had. The point that's been brought up by many, including Doug on this show, of saying Green Bay didn't want to trade him to a team in this offseason because that team's going to be good and that first-round draft pick wouldn't be as good. I honestly thought if Green Bay really thought that Aaron Rodgers was going to retire, it didn't matter where the first round pick was. If you weren't going to get anything for him, they should have dealt him. Now, I think it does open the door for them to look for that trade, look for other teams to look at their quarterback's position. And honestly, George, with the way that the NFL is nowadays, and we saw Matthew Stafford be traded this offseason, we saw Tom Brady obviously leave New England and go to Tampa Bay last offseason. There are really, I don't know, maybe 10 or 12 starting quarterback jobs. And this is just off the top of my head. I'll just say half the league. Half the league's probably more accurate with the young quarterbacks. But there's going to be an entire half of the NFL that would be willing to say, all right, we're ready to move on to our guy or from our guy to bring in Aaron Rodgers. So at least for Green Bay in that aspect, maybe it opens up more options than just maybe only the Denver Broncos or the Raiders as a possibility for Aaron Rodgers. They may get more teams in play for Rodgers' services if they end up trading him. I guess that's going to work out for Green Bay.
Yeah, he puts Green Bay in a position where they're going to have high bids for him, but they're not just going to be able to send him anywhere either. that's part of the deal, is that he's going to have to okay and sign off on the places that he wants to go. And so where you didn't think that he got anything from, you know, being out and all off season, I think it's clear now to everybody that he actually really did get something substantial, which was exactly what he wanted, which was a way out.
You know, this is now just opens up Pandora's box on possibilities. And you're right, he's going to have his say. But there are going to be some teams that are going to be interested in Aaron Rodgers if Green Bay is willing to do that, willing to trade him to one of those teams that are going to be pretty good football teams. You know, not to make speculation, but we know Denver is looking for a quarterback. We understand that. We know that John Gruden is always looking for perfection, so we don't know how Derek Carr and what his future is going to be with the Raiders. But there's also a situation, say, in Cleveland, where Baker Mayfield's coming off of a pretty good season where the Browns made it to the AFC divisional playoffs. And that team is set up in a way where you're saying to yourself, wow, this team could be on the verge of something. And now you're sitting there and you're Cleveland and you're saying, all right, well, at least we've got two more years of Baker Mayfield if we wanted him, if we wanted to sign an extension with him. But if we had an opportunity to bring in Aaron Rodgers and bring a Super Bowl to Cleveland, like, could you imagine like that decision for the Browns? And I just bring the Browns up because they're a team that we talk about a lot. But, you know, that could be a decision that teams are going to have to face. This is,
oh my gosh. And consider this, is that Baker Mayfield is like that he hasn't signed a new contract
correct.
Yet.
Yes.
So now if you're the Browns, that may be a situation where you're like, sorry, Baker, we like you. We don't love you though. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers wants to live in Cleveland or not, but I mean, Cleveland, Green Bay, you know, you're like trading apples for apples at that point in time, right?
In the winter, you know, they're both beautiful cities, but, you know, having different things to offer in different times of year. But when it's cold and there's not much difference. Yeah. To that point, I use Cleveland and not to advance the story so far to make it about Baker Mayfield. But this is what this does now. Now, if you're an NFL team and you're reading the tweets like we're reading the tweets on how Aaron Rodgers is going to continue his career with the Green Bay Packers, that it may only be for one season. Maybe you don't act on that. And Baker Mayfield's agent this offseason had said that he believes that a deal is going to get done. But yeah, a deal hasn't gotten done. His fifth-year option has been exercised, so he's under contract for the next 2 years for the Cleveland Browns. But I think it allows teams like the Cleveland Browns and maybe like other situations in the NFL that pop up. And that's where maybe Green Bay can get a little bit more leverage back while you're bringing more teams into the equation on trying to acquire Rodgers. To me, George, I just don't see a scenario, and I connected to Tom Brady. I don't see a scenario where the Packers, you know, give Aaron Rodgers all of his concessions and he then wants to stay in Green Bay after the season. I think that's, you know, and I got the Instagram story. I thought it was because they both hated Brian Gutekunst, him and Devontae Adams putting up the Jordan and Pippen. And the last dance thing is something that is there. Like, hey, it's one more time around. Green Bay's got to make a decision on Devontae Adams as well. I just don't see this is going to be the last ride for Aaron Rodgers. And I just don't see a scenario where as much as Green Bay wants to word it with the insiders or say, hey, we'll evaluate the situation after 2021, I just don't see a scenario where Aaron Rodgers is back in 2022 in Green Bay.
Okay. See, I would agree that the likelihood of him going back is extremely low, like extremely low. But I also understand that sometimes miracles happen. Like it's like that also. It's going to take a miracle to make me love someone new. I mean, that's what it's going to take for Aaron Rodgers to be back. And it is a long season. And sometimes personal things happen, other things that, you know, tell a guy that he's not going to. Well, that change a guy's mind. So I have no problem with that part of it. Because his mind could be changed, even though it is extremely unlikely.
Do you think if that Packer fans will like this news?
Yes. What do you mean, dude? Yes. And also the best part about the news is this, Dan, is that they get a chance to grieve, is that they already know it's coming. So you don't have to be upset about it next season and off season, any of that. You already know what's happening. It's like when it's different than when the Bulls broke up, because you actually hoped that something would happen, especially if they won another championship. But we've already seen this movie. We already know how it ends. So I think the fans are going to be relieved, because they thought that last year they were like, okay, cool, we will run it back. And then they're like, no, they're hit with a surprise. But now they're back into a situation where they're like, okay, cool, we can work with this year and we can enjoy it for what it is.
I think that there will be some that feel that way. I don't think it's going to be all. And I know it's difficult to get everybody on the same page. But I think there's going to be a group of Packer fans that, yeah, while they are excited that he's coming back this year for a team that was, you know, a game shy of the Super Bowl for the second straight year, I think there's also a point of hurt feelings. Betrayal may be too strong of a word, but to know that Aaron Rodgers wants to leave after this season, I don't think that all Packer fans will have that great feeling. They'll enjoy 2021, but I don't think that he has endured himself to the Packer fans because of that. I think that there are going to be some that do not like that Aaron Rodgers wanted to leave in the first place. And we'll see how it plays. Maybe if they win a Super Bowl and he rides off into the sunset and Packer fans will be happy. But if they fall short or he doesn't play up to his expectations, I don't think that there is going to be I don't think there are going to be a lot of Packer fans that are loving Aaron Rodgers for how this is going to play out in the long term. We will keep the conversation going. He is George Reister. I'm Dan Beyer. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. You can get George on Twitter at George Reister. You can find me on Twitter at Dan Beyer on Fox. Apparently the Packers and Aaron Rodgers have agreed on something, and so is Oklahoma and Texas. We'll tell you what that is next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. I'm Dan Beyer. He is George Reister. We are sitting in for Doug today. You can always catch George and I every Sunday at 5 o'clock Eastern Time, 2 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. That's in the afternoon, not in the early morning hours. But if you ever want to listen to Fox Sports Radio, we are there for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and also at foxsportsradio.com. Going to be joined in just a matter of minutes by the CEO and president of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, David Baker, as the Hall of Fame ceremonies are fast approaching, a little more than a week away, and it is going to be quite a unique situation in Canton, because not only are you welcoming the class of 2021, you're also enshrining the class of 2020 that didn't get their opportunity last year. So we'll talk about that and so much more again with David Baker coming up in about 5 minutes or so. But George, did you see the Madden wide receiver rankings for Madden 22?
Yes, I did.
And this is surprising. Now, Devontae Adams is not getting the contract that he wants from the Green Bay Packers. We found that out over the weekend. But we did find this, that Devontae Adams is the only wide receiver in the NFL to receive the coveted 99 rating in the latest Madden game that's set to drop next month. It was Devontae Adams 99. DeAndre Hopkins and Tyreek Hill were next with ratings of 98. And then you had Stephon Diggs with 97. Julio Jones of the now Tennessee Titans rounds out with a score of 95. I buy Madden maybe every other year just because I think sometimes the game ends up being the same. But I see these rankings and I see Michael Thomas, a rating of 94, Keenan Allen, 93, Amari Cooper's a 92, and Mike Evans a 91, Allen Robinson is a 90. I think they missed the boat on some of this, George. I think that I'm not saying Devontae Adams didn't deserve a 99. I just think of the names that we didn't see in this top 10 that I think should be in the Madden ratings, like DK Metcalf, Calvin Ridley, A.J. Brown. I think you could put Justin Jefferson in those rankings.
They're probably in the 88 to 90 range because, yeah, you're probably in that 88 to 90 range because I don't think Allen Robinson is the only 90.
No, yeah, that was the top 10 that was released earlier today. To me, it's old guy bias on here. It's old guy bias because Julio Jones, for as great as Julio Jones has been, missed half the season last year. And now he's going into a new scenario in Tennessee that we don't necessarily know how he's going to fit in.
He was healthy last year, though, he was a menace. I would have given him probably – okay. Okay, would you say that Julio Jones last year was better than – Michael Thomas?
Yes.
Okay. Would you say that he was better than Keenan Allen?
No.
Keenan Allen missed some time too. He didn't even catch for 1,000 yards last year.
Okay. Well, the numbers on Keenan Allen were 100 catches, 992 yards, and 8 scores.
Yeah, so that's under 10 yards a catch. So I'm just that, like, a 93 is a really good rating. It puts you 7th. Amari Cooper, I mean, I don't have a problem. Like, this is where I see the wide receivers in the league, period. I mean, like, it's who else do you think is better than these dudes?
Well, I just don't think Julio Jones should be a 95. He had 51 catches, 3 touchdowns, 770 yards. By the way, Julio Jones has never been a touchdown machine. If you want touchdowns, I'd rather rely on Keenan Allen. I think Keenan Allen's season was better, even though, yeah, there was injuries. Michael Thomas, same scenario. Those guys are leaning on reputation. That's what's going on, and that's what I think you see with these Madden rankings. Listen, Julio Jones is going to be in Canton someday, but for these rankings right now, not the case. And speaking of Canton, Ohio, who knows in how many years David Baker is going to have to knock on Julio Jones's door, but that will be for another time as the president of the Pro Football Hall of Fame joins us here on behalf of Ford. And introducing the Ford Hall of Fans, David Baker joins us here on Fox Sports Radio. Hey, David, thanks so much for taking the time today. How are you?
Hey, guys, I'm doing great. I'm excited. We're getting ready for the first full stadium for football in about 18 months on August 5th between the Cowboys and the Steelers, and it's going to be great to have fans in the stands again.
Well, let's start right there, because as I mentioned, FordHallOfFans.com, you're enshrining 3 more fans into the hall this year. How did this come about? Because this is relatively new. How did the fans end up being a part of the Football Hall of Fame, and what are you doing to honor these fans with a ceremony starting next weekend?
Yeah, Ford has been a spectacular partner of ours. And we kind of worked on an idea with them because, we enshrine here players, coaches, contributors, a whole lot of people that make this great game and this great league what it is. But frankly, it's all done for the fans. And we've got some incredible fans here that come to the Pro Football Hall of Fame with the Ultimate Fans Association that are here every year for enshrinement. And what we wanted to do was find the very best fans that are out there. And so we would have fans vote on them. This year, more than 200,000 voted for fans. And we, in the past, we've had guys like the puppet lady from Kansas City, the bear man from Chicago, Rick Coleman, from the Steelers, or Fireman Rob, that a lot of people would recognize from Denver. And these are all people that we recognize from watching TV. But they are passionate and, deeply committed to their teams. This year, what we did was we had Aeneas Williams knock on the door of Christy Brown, who was a Cardinals fan. Howie Long knocked on the door of Wayne the Violator Mabry, who's a Raiders fan, and you would recognize him in his outfit. And, of course, the great Jim Brown knocking on the door of Ray for Show Dog Prisby, and you would recognize him as a fan. And they were voted in by the fans. And on Friday, August 6th, the day after the game here between the Steelers and the Cowboys, we will enshrine those 3 fans for the 3rd year. That'll be a set of 9 into the Ford Hall of Fans.
Yeah. I'm sitting here looking at like how important that this is for the game itself. Like, how important do you think fans being voted and all that stuff is going to impact, future fans and the popularity of the sport?
Yeah, well, again, we do it because there are some fans that kind of go above and beyond and you would recognize. But I will tell you, again, they don't get a bronze bust and they don't get a gold jacket. They actually do get a blue opal jacket after Ford. And they do get their own exhibit here at the Pro Football Hall of Fame because there are some legendary fans. But again, I think that, a lot of our Hall of Famers will tell you how much they appreciated the fans that cheered them into the Hall of Fame. And when I knock on the door of these guys who are fans, they're crying. They're overwhelmed, just like knocking on the door of Peyton Manning or Brett Favre or this year Charles Woodson and Troy Polamalu. I think it's important to recognize the fans, who do so much of this. It's an important part of the game and something I think we really missed last year.
David Baker joining us here on Fox Sports Radio, the Doug Gottlieb Show. He's George Reister. I'm Dan Beyer. You talk about knocking on the door. How did this take off, David? Like, because now we're seeing the camera crew follow you. We're seeing your hand hit the door or ring the bell or whatever it may be. When did this really start to take off? And when did you guys realize that you really had something here with that knock on the door?
Yeah, about 8 years ago when I got here, we had brought all of our 18 finalists together in New York, and we were going to pick, you know, 4 to 8 of them for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and then introduce them live right at the middle of the honor show the night before the Super Bowl. And on this particular year, we ran late, so I was calling guys, and I called Michael Strahan because he lived in New York, and we had to get him across town to Radio City Music Hall. I called Derek Brooks because he was a friend and I knew him, and I just wanted to tell my buddies some good news. And then the third one was Ray Guy, the punter, who had been eligible for 29 years. And he's from southern Mississippi, and he almost didn't answer because I've got area code 714, which is Orange County, California, and he was looking for 330. But I'm glad he did, and I said, Ray, I'm Dave Baker. I'm the new president of the Hall. It is my great pleasure, and I got that far. And I could hear him fall to the ground. I could hear his phone rattling around. His wife is saying, honey, baby, sweetheart, are you okay? And this goes on for like 2 minutes. I thought I'd killed my first Hall of Famer. And as you know, 2 minutes is a long time in your business of radio and certainly in television. And you know, finally he got to the phone. He said, in that slow southern Mississippi drawl, he said, hey, I'm sorry. I'm not sure I understood until now how much this meant to me. And with that, we understood it's not about Dave Baker delivering the news. It's about these guys being told. And I really tell them three things. I tell them they're going to Canton because that's where everybody wants to end their football career. I thank them for all they've done and are going to do for the game. And then lastly, I promise them that the Pro Football Hall of Fame will guard their legacy forever. And when those guys do it, it's fascinating because I've done it about 80 times now. They're not thinking about how much money they made. They're not thinking about their rings or their trophies. They're thinking about the mom that drove them to practice when they were 8 years old or 10 years old. They're thinking about the dad that wouldn't let them quit or the coach that inspired them to be more or the teammates that helped them get there. It is really special. And I've seen it with Bill Cowher, who is a very private guy and doesn't want to show you much beyond that steel jaw of his. And I've seen him cry. I've seen Jimmy Johnson cry. And even when it's a guy like Peyton Manning, where we kind of figuratively knocked on his door at Mile High Stadium with all the coaches that coached him, you learn that it's not that 45-year-old pitch man that you're talking to. You're talking about that 8- or 10-year-old kid that started the journey. And there's enormous humility in each of them. They know the shoulders of the guys that they played with and stand upon.
Yeah. And I played with two guys that are kind of on the cusp, seeing if they will ever get in or not. And that's Fred Taylor and Jimmy Smith. And I know how much it means to them, but I don't think that they truly say it like out loud. And then I've talked to T.O. and a bunch of other guys who have been in as well. But I don't think that they fully understand it until that moment. Is that kind of I know you said that was with some guys, but is what happens every time that they don't really fully understand how much it meant to them until you knock on that door? Or call.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where you're almost afraid to wish for until it happens. And so you're pretty cautious about it. But again, what I do want to share is, you know, there have been 330 million young men that have played this game. Only 5 million have played it in college. And there's only 29,000 who've been paid to play it, coach it, or officiate it in the National Football League like you did. But today in the Hall of Fame, there's only 335 bronze busts. So it is extremely elite. It is the highest level of excellence. But we have down here in Canton at Centennial Plaza, which is downtown, we have the list that is right there in the park, in the plaza, of all 25,474 names that played in the first century of the NFL. And George, your name is on there. And again, I think it's the same feeling for you. You don't have to have a bronze bust to have an incredible legacy. As a matter of fact, next time you're at the Hall of Fame, George, come on down here. We'll pull your archive. We have an archive on every guy who played even one game in the NFL, much less the career that you had. So we can pull that archive. We can show you what we got to keep your legacy. And if you want to add to it, you can add to it. Our job is to honor the heroes of the game. And that's not just Hall of Famers, but it's everybody who gave their heart and their soul and a little bit of their blood and some of their bones to this game. But it's also to preserve its history and promote the values of the game that you relied on to survive and also to thrive and to celebrate that excellence. And I truly believe, guys, that the great part about it is you don't have to be a football player to have a Hall of Fame life. That by looking what you guys did and how you persevered and how you came together, we can also be better mothers and fathers or companies or communities and certainly a better country.
David Baker, president of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, joining us. I'm going to tag along for the Reister family vacation next summer now because I have a feeling it's going to Canton, Ohio. Just a couple more for you before we let you go. How do you pull off the ceremonies this year? Because you're enshrining two classes, you had a supersized class in 2020. How are things going to be working next weekend in Canton with the double ceremonies?
Yeah, we call it twice the fun in 21. But what we're doing for sure is we've got a limit on speeches because, again, all these guys like George are media trained, but they've never been in a situation where on national TV, actually with two networks, NFL Network and ESPN, where they're giving the story of their life. And so we've asked guys to keep their speeches to 6 minutes. At 7 minutes, a light comes on, and at 8 minutes, I will run out there and tackle them, and we'll kind of play them off with Oscar music. And guys have understood that. I mean, I think, Peyton Manning's speech is 6 minutes. Jimmy Johnson's is less than that, and they understand it. But it is important. And by the way, they can make a longer speech, and we'll put it on our website for everybody to see. But I think it's going to be – I love it because I think there's things in these guys' life that can make us all better. And it's really special, and it's an honor to provide a special moment for so many of these men who provide so many incredibly special moments for those of us who love the game.
Great, great stuff. I it starts the football season. I've been to Canton. It's been a little while. It's been about 14 years. I got to make it back because I know it's changed so much. Again, David Baker, president and CEO of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, here on behalf of the Ford Hall of Fans. The Hall of Fans class of 2021 will be honored with an exclusive unveiling of displays at the Pro Football Hall of Fame on August 6th during Enshrinement Weekend. David, we appreciate it. We'll look forward to watching you next week, and thanks again for your time.
Dan, let me know when you're coming. We'll roll out the red carpet for you and George. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. David Baker, president and CEO of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That's pretty cool on your part to have all of your information. Honestly, like when he's saying that, how does that make you feel when you hear your names in downtown Canton, Ohio, that all of your archives are saved at the Pro Football Hall of Fame? When you heard that, how did you feel?
That kind of hit me because – honestly, it made me feel like I mattered more in terms of that somebody actually cared, even though I wasn't a Hall of Famer, that it's something that I would love to take my kids to go see, my family to go see. So I'm very excited because now I definitely want to go because I didn't know that there was more there for me besides seeing the other greats. And truth be told, as a former player, as a guy who got hurt a few times and that kind of sidetracked how my career went, I had goals. Like everybody dreams of one day going to the Hall of Fame. So it is a little bit of a disappointment if that's not the way your career turns out. But at the same time, like knowing that you're preserved there and all of that stuff and that you matter, even if you're not one of the all-time greats.
I have different, levels of people and how I look at their careers. George, you are on another level because you were rostered and played in our fantasy league. So that's enough for me to tell me, you know, to tell me like that you definitely mattered. I don't want you to ever think that you didn't. And the way that we validate it was George Reister rostered out of fantasy football league? Yes, he was multiple times, and yes, he did get starts. That may be the fantasy point of me, but no, I could hear it in your voice, the surprise when David Baker said that. And I even thought that was pretty neat, and that's pretty cool for you to be able to go, you know, at some point, hopefully you're able to go and check it out and see what you can do.
Yep, that's, I can't wait.
Yeah, that was awesome stuff. Again, FordHallOfFans.com is where you can check all of that out. Get George Reister on Twitter, the 6-year NFL vet, at George Reister. You can find me on Twitter at Dan Byer on Fox. Huge day in the world of sports. There's news about Deshaun Watson, and there's news about the Green Bay Packers. Looks like Aaron Rodgers is going to report to Green Bay. That's according to the NFL Network report. While Mark Murphy, the Packers president, said today that the team is not going to trade Rodgers. We don't know if that's now or later, but that was the message out of Titletown today.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Gottlieb Show. I'm Dan Byer. He is George Reister, the NFL vet. We are sitting in for Doug today, having a grand old time in what has turned out to be a huge news day in the world of sports. It was also a big news day yesterday for what happened at the Tokyo Games. And because of that, we're going to hear something very interesting from a Fox Sports Radio program a bit earlier today in a segment we like to call...
And now...
And George, we're in for Doug Gottlieb today because Doug Gottlieb was in for Colin Cowherd on the herd and weighed in to Team USA and their men's basketball team losing to France yesterday in their opening game of the Tokyo Games.
You ever watch your kid play soccer when he's like 7 or 8 years old? And I'm not talking about the club soccer, but the club soccer is still a little bit about this, right? Like the way we teach soccer and to a certain extent basketball at the youth level is like you kick it up to the best kid. He just like cherry picks or snowbirds, depending upon your location, gets the ball at midfield and then just beats people. You just kick it down to him. He's just faster than everybody else and he scores. And then you watch like European soccer or Argentinian soccer and they pass the ball backwards and sideways. And it is very different from how we play soccer. We are a brute force country. We have better athletes. More possessions, better athletes, play faster, go one-on-one, and it works in NBA-style officiating, NBA-style rules. And it's worked enough, right? It's worked enough for us to be successful at 25 consecutive wins in Olympic competition before early yesterday morning. But the rest of the world is caught up to us. Plus, we don't send all of our best players. Plus, we don't really have a culture, a system, a style in place. It's just, you know, go play hard and then our offenses are as simple as possible because all these guys have always been stars. At the end of the day, their default is, I'm going to go get us a bucket. And that's not really how it works in European basketball. It's just not. We in trouble. Right? We in trouble. They've lost 3 of their last 4 games. It's just an exhibition. That wasn't an exhibition. They lost 3 of their last 4 games. Right? And all the losses are to teams who, I mean, Nigeria is not a team you'd expect to lose to. But when you have this type of consistency in losing, it speaks to something is wrong.
I don't disagree with a lot of what Doug said there. And Doug knows more about basketball than I do. He knows more about basketball in his pinky than what I do. But it's just the point. I don't get why everybody is just completely up in arms. As we talked about yesterday, George, the only thing it's just expected to go to Tokyo and get a gold and come back. And the thought of losing has never entered anyone's mind. And when it happens, the sky is completely falling. And I just think that thought process is absurd.
Listen, winning is life. If you're not first, you're last. And when you're playing with the best players in the world, they should find a way to play basketball the way basketball should be played. Or maybe the NBA needs to change. What
does the Fox say? He's George Reister. I'm Dan Beyer. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Aaron Rodgers is seemingly getting his way and will be back for the pack this season. Another quarterback may get his way as well in the NFL. That's next.